I want to ask this morning, is your Christianity, there's a stool here, so it must be a hint. Is your Christianity ever dry? Do you ever go through times when you just feel like you're in a desert place? That maybe the Lord seems to be hiding his face from me right now. Where are you, Lord? You would hear in the Psalms, and we'll be in Psalm 24, so you can open up to Psalm 24. But when you read through the Psalms and when you read through the people's lives that are recorded in Scripture, you find that it's not that abnormal to go through times like that, to go through times when you're wondering what is going on and where are you, Lord? And why do I feel like I'm in, like my walk with you has just become barren? And seasons of dryness are normal. You can read a psalm like Psalm 63 at the beginning of Psalm 63, and O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Those verses begin to take on some meaning now as you hear that people like David also went through these times, a man after God's own heart. And so what I want to do this morning is give you some practical pointers from Psalm 24 and just encourage you that maybe sometimes we try to make things more complicated than they are. And if you're going through a time when you just feel like, where is God and why don't I feel his presence, you might take some of these points this morning and check them. This might not be the problem this morning, these four points I'm going to give you from Psalm 24. It might just be that God wants you to be in that place right now. And there's just absolutely nothing you can do about it except go through it. But, you know, Christianity is a little more, you know, when I'm going through a hard time, for instance, I know that it might not be anything I'm doing, but sometimes I also want to check myself and see, well, maybe is it something I'm doing, though, Lord? Because that's possible, too. And that's not the popular analysis that we like to give. When something's going wrong, we usually like to say it's not fair, it's not my fault. But and a lot of times it's not, but sometimes it might be. It might be. So we want to just look at how can I live in God's presence, because as Bible-believing Christians, we believe that we are called in Christ to live in God's presence and to experience him. I was talking about this last Sunday. To experience him in a real and powerful way. Otherwise, your Christianity is what probably every person in this room has experienced. Something's wrong. I'm just going to church. I believe in God. I believe in Christ. But there's just something missing. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we've all gone through that. Maybe not. But look at Psalm 24 with me, and then we'll talk a bit. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. This is David, by the way. This is David. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Kind of speaking of the universality of God and his creation, and that there's a certain, because he created all things, creation's going to work a certain way. Creation's going to work a certain way. And then David asks a rhetorical question: who may ascend the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. The first thing before we can get to my four little neat points for you this morning, the first thing that has to happen in somebody's life to begin living in God's presence is right there. Did you catch that in verse 3? Who may stand in his holy place? And David is talking about the most holy place in the temple in the Old Testament where God's presence dwelt, which the high priest could only go into the most holy place once a year. But we learned something very important when Christ came. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We've been in Hebrews. The first step to living in God's presence, his holy place, has to be that we are placed in his presence positionally in Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, you see the most holy place there, and David's talking about the holy place where God's presence dwelt in Psalm 24. But now, in Christ, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, this is a powerful way, a real way. It's not a dead way. And it's not the way of the Old Testament when the high priest would just go in once a year to God's presence, the holy place. But it's a new and living way now, open for us through the curtain that is Christ's body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold unswervingly to this hope that we profess, because he who promised is faithful. The first step to living in God's presence, which I'm pretty sure we've all got this one down here, but just in case, because we can't move on to the practicing his presence before we all understand that before I can live in God's holy place, now it's been opened for me through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. That's what the writer of Hebrews just said. Through his body, he opened up for us the most holy place where we can enter now with confidence through Christ's blood, having been cleansed from a dirty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, which is probably the Holy Spirit. That now the Christian, understand this, that now this is not fanatical, that now the Christian lives in the most holy place of God where he lives, in his very presence. And he lives in you. That's pretty crazy. He lives in you. Amen. Christianity is a very supernatural, powerful thing. So before I can begin to live in God's presence as a Christian, I just wanted to get that down, that if there's anyone here, because we always like to say, if there's anyone here who hasn't began that relationship with Christ, if you haven't believed that he suffered and died for you on the cross and rose from the dead, and that by his broken body and his shed blood, you've been forgiven of all your sins, of everything that's happened in the past, in the present, and in the future, and that now he will place you positionally in his presence to live in Christ with him forever. And that you are what we call eternally secure. If you're a believer in Christ, that your sins have been forgiven, and that positionally you are saved, and you have the promise of heaven in Christ and the forgiveness of your sins, positionally. But, and this is where a lot of Christians like to kind of debate at the coffee machine after church, you can be in Christ positionally, but not practically. You see, oftentimes, myself, I'm in Christ, I'm a Christian, he's saved me, I truly believe in him, but practically, I'm not there today. You ever feel that way? I'm just not feeling it right now. I feel like I'm in a desert place. And I don't like it. And it might just be this is God's will for me today, and it's nothing, but maybe it's something, and I want to check it. But first, and anybody listening online, have you believed that Christ died for you and rose from the dead for the forgiveness of your sins, and that by that sacrifice, your sins are forgiven, like the Hebrews writer just said, and now the Holy of Holies, which in the Bible is God's presence, where he lives, that now you live there. In fact, the Bible even goes farther than that. It says in Ephesians that you've been raised up with Christ and are seated with him, where? In the heavenly places. Well, that's crazy, Claire. I see you right now, right there. How's that work? Please explain that to me. But that's what it says, doesn't it? Spiritually, positionally. That's a crazy thing that doesn't make, you know, you can't absorb that into your life experience and think Christianity's ho-hum. That's amazing to me, and I don't get it all the way, but that's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. So the first step in living in God's presence is to get there positionally in Christ. Then, after that, you have to, when that happens truly in a person's life, and you can think that it's happened, but it hasn't happened, and here's the test. Okay, because I became a Christian when I was like 14, but I wasn't really changed by God until I was like 19, 20, even 21. So what happened there? And so you can think that you're there and not be there. I don't know what's going on sometimes in our lives. But this is the test. The test is if Hebrews 10 has taken effect, and by you have confidence now by Christ's body broken for you and his shed blood for the forgiveness of your sins, you have confidence now to live in the presence of God, okay? That if that has really happened in your life, Colossians chapter 3 will happen to you. And this is what Colossians chapter 3 says. The first three verses says this. If you've been raised up with Christ, that is to say, if you've become a Christian and been raised up with him and seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, positionally now, you live in him. If you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you've died. And your life now is hidden with Christ in God. Those are more powerful verses. I've died, and my life now is hidden with Christ in God. Look back at Psalm 24 and look at verse 6. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, Paul just told us in Colossians. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are of this earth. Now look back at David, 1,000 years before Paul, saying the same kind of stuff, really, saying the same kind of stuff. In verse 3, who may live in your presence? And look at verse 6. Such is the generation of those who seek your face. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. I better put this over here or I'm going to fall. Which I'm sure would be very fun this morning. Do you notice that? That in Colossians, Paul says, if you've been raised up with Christ, something will happen to your life focus, and you will shift from looking at the earth to looking at heaven, to looking at Christ in heaven, the presence of God. That's where you live now. You've died and you live there now, if you believe it, positionally. David says 1,000 years before that, the people who live in God's presence, one of the things about them is that they seek your face, this generation. There's a generation in the world that does not seek God, and there's a generation in this earth that seek God. Okay? So first thing that has to happen is positionally, have you accepted Christ? If you have, for sure, your mind has shifted now. And yes, you struggle with this, but your mind has shifted now to heavenly things, and you have a Christ-centered focus going on all the time with work, kids, marriage, everything. even if you're in dry places, your mind is shifted to heaven and you're like, what's going on, Lord? Why are you hiding your face from me? Don't turn your servant away in anger. Come near to me and help me, oh my God. Be near to me, oh my God. And your mind is shifted. Now, if you are this person, if you're like, yeah, Eric, I know what you mean about the Hebrews 10. I believe that positionally, Christ has placed me in his presence, in God's very presence. I know this has taken effect in my life. I've become a Christian. And Christianity to me is not going to church. Christianity to me is I've been saved from my sins and I've been placed in Christ. And Christ is in the heavenlies and he's seated with me. He seated me with him in the heavenlies. And my whole life now is like pretty fanatically, it sounds pretty weird to a non-believer, but it's pretty crazy. If you know that, and if you're like, yeah, Eric, I know what you mean about Colossians, so I'm there with you too, that my mind has shifted, and since I've been raised up with Christ, I am seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. I am trying my very best to set my mind on the things above, not on the things that are of this earth. If you're like, okay, Eric, I'm there, then let's go back to Psalm 24 now. Then positionally, I would say you're in Christ, but practically, check some things in your life as you practice what Brother Lawrence called the presence of God. Brother Lawrence. You can look that up. And if these things have happened, this is how you begin to not only be positionally in God's presence, but practically in his presence. Practically in his presence. Look at Psalm 24 again. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Verse 3. David's talking about living in God's presence. Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands. He who has clean hands. So the first thing I would encourage every Christian to do, if you're with me on those positional points, is to check what am I doing? What am I doing? Am I in a desert place just because God wants me there right now? It's just totally, he prunes us, he disciplines us, he lets these things happen to teach us. But maybe is it me? And I just want to check. Okay, I just want to check these things. And I want to look at what am I doing? Because David just said, who may ascend the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? Who may live in God's presence? Well, you have to have clean hands. You have to have clean hands. And scripturally, what he's saying is you have to be clean in what you are doing. That's what your hands are. What are you doing in your daily activities? Are your daily activities reflecting Hebrews 10, that I've been placed in Christ now by his broken body and shed blood, I've been placed in his presence? Are your daily activities reflecting Colossians 3, that my mind shifted? It shifted now, and all I think about is Christ in heaven, and the things of the earth are becoming less and less important to me. Because if those things have happened, you will begin to practice the presence of God, which is, it will affect your activities, what you do at work, what you do at play, what you do in your family time or whatever else, hobbies. Everything will become Hebrews 10 and Colossians 3. You following? You following that? So what I want to just do is say, okay, I'm in a desert place, Lord. I know I'm positionally in you and you've saved me. You've changed my life. But what am I doing right now? And is what I'm doing Christ-focused? And is it being inspired by my positional presence? That is, that I've been positionally placed in Christ? Is that affecting what I do every day? Because I can tell you from experience that I have to fight this still to this day. That is what I'm doing today with my hands, is it clean in your sight? Am I trying to do everything for you? Work, play, hobbies, anything. So check as a Christian what you're doing. And then I would check why you're doing it. Or I would say, check how you're thinking. Look at the psalm again. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands, that he's doing Christ-centered stuff. And he who has a pure heart. Did you see that? A pure heart. And a pure heart, David's talking about, is the way you're thinking. is the way you're thinking all day long inspired by your positional presence in God? Hebrews 10, you've entered into the holy place now with confidence through Christ's broken body and shed blood for you. And Colossians 3, you've had a mind shift. You've had a mind shift. And this really gets down to motives. He who has clean hands can live in God's presence in Christ, and he who has a pure heart. Why do I do what I do all day long? My motives is what I'm talking about. My thought life. In fact, this would be really your clean hands is who you are outwardly, and your pure heart is who you are inwardly. What's going on in the secret place of you? You know, the Bible says in Psalm 64 that a man's heart is like deep waters. Who can understand it? That in our hearts, it's like going out to the sea and looking over the Atlantic Ocean, and it's deep, and I don't know what's in there, but there's a lot of stuff in the ocean. And that's the way a man or woman's heart is. And so we as Christians have to begin practicing, okay, the secret life of me, my thought life, is it pure before God? Why do I think what I think about so-and-so? Why am I working? Why did I just say that to that person? Why did I just do that good deed? And you begin to seek a pure heart before God with pure motives, and the secret life of you becomes an act of worship because you live in God's presence and your mind is shifted. And your mind is shifted. So I would encourage you, what are you doing? That's who you are outwardly. What are you thinking and what motivates you in life? That's who you are inwardly. And you might miss this, but these directly affect how you're practicing the presence of God. Because if what I do is not pleasing to him, it will affect how I'm experiencing him today. And if my heart isn't pure, it will affect how I'm experiencing him today. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol. Who does not lift up his soul to an idol, David goes on to say. So I have to look at what am I doing, what am I thinking, and then what am I adoring? Who does not lift up his soul to an idol. He's going into the religious side of the person now. David says, check what you're doing. Check what you're thinking. And check what you're worshiping. Don't lift up your soul to an idol, he says. What am I adoring, or what am I devoted to, or what are my passions as a Christian? Whatever you're devoted to, whatever you're passionate about, could be your God. We call them idols. Biblically, in the Old Testament, they were little idols that you'd make, and this little lamp is going to be my idol that I worship. But really, biblically, we see now through the New Testament, but that anything, my wife could become an idol to me. If I begin becoming devoted and passionate towards her in a way that competes with God, she's becoming my God. You see. Now, guys, I'm not saying not to be devoted to your wives or passionate about them, so don't twist that. I can play that back on the podcast after. But who you know, is God what you're passionate about? The psalmist says again in Psalm 27 and Psalm 84, there's one thing I seek. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Is he just talking poetically? Or is that possible? But that's the one thing I seek. I would rather, Psalm 84, I would rather be a servant in the house of the Lord than to live outside of it. You see. This is what happens to a person. That's what we're passionate about. He who has clean hands, a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol. And so, what are you outwardly? What are you inwardly? And what are you religiously? You want to check all these things, because even the Christian, myself included, I can slowly over time, like when you see a boat drifting, doesn't look like it's moving. If you're looking at it out in the bay, it's just drifting. but you look away, and then a minute later you look back, and it moved. And it moved kind of far. This is the same thing in my life. If I start letting little things become important to me, and over time, they can become an idol. So be careful. Be careful. Check to see, what am I passionate about today? Is it Christ, because my mind is fixed on him in heaven? Interesting to check. And then lastly, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands, a pure heart, doesn't lift up his soul to an idol, or swear by what is false, David says, or swear by what is false. I have to check what I say, how I speak. What I do all day long, what I think, what I worship, and what I say directly affect my practicing the presence of God. I can come to church all day long and pray in here while you're all gone, but if what I'm doing and what I'm thinking and what my heart is passionate about and what I'm saying, if those aren't Christ-centered, I'm not practicing the presence of God just because I'm in a church praying, you see? How do I speak all day long? You wouldn't think it, but this directly affects where you are with God, where you are with God. In fact, my words speak of who I am. They reveal who I really am. This is Jesus' teaching, by the way, not mine. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, long about verse 30-something. He says, Jesus, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Eric, who you are will be manifested by how you speak. The good man brings out of the good treasure that is built up in his heart, but the evil man brings out evil treasure that's built up in his heart, Jesus said. But Jesus said, but I tell you that every careless word that you speak, Eric, you have to give an account for this one day. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus on words. Jesus is very serious about words, isn't he? Like, why are you getting so serious here, Lord? Why are you getting so serious here? So this is what I would encourage you to do this morning. I would encourage you that if everything's going good, or if it's not, and you're in a dry place, God loves you. He has made a way for us to live in his very presence through the blood of Christ. Your Christianity should not just be mundane. And we all struggle with this. We all go through dry spells. But be checking. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Well, are my hands clean? And is my heart pure, Lord? And have I somehow accidentally started lifting up my soul to an idol? Or swearing by what is false, have my words become not pleasing to you the way I'm speaking all day long? Am I building up others, or am I tearing them down? You see, check these things. Don't underestimate them. They're very important in your life as a Christian and as you practice living in the presence of God. Father, we thank you again for this short time. We do pray that we would be a people that are after your presence, that like David, we would say, one thing will I ask, and that I will seek, that I may live in the presence of the Lord and dwell in his temple all the days of my life, and that these verses and others like them would become real to us. That you would teach us your ways and show us your paths, that we could walk in your presence, live in your presence all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.